But I hope my teenage years didn't involve Black Ops missions for the guards. They could have left us with some bloody guns, at least, grumbled Leela, as she sent out the commands that would transfer her into the disk.
We don't need guns, replied Cassiel. We've got me.
Chapter 28. Cassiel lifted the flyer up and over the sleeping landscape of Docklands. Leela fiddled with the disk's settings until it showed Cassiel and the caretaker, her avatar, sitting in a rear seat. She reached out and connected with their senses. Cassiel's totality tech gave everything a pin-sharp precision. The caretaker's sound and image gathering systems were rather more glitchy. Even the smallest objects were overlaid with a soft rainbow halo of colors. Each sound created a slow, dying echo. It was like being ever so slightly stoned. Leela followed their gazes out over the city. The dimly lit streets curved up and away above them, tucking themselves in behind the spine. There was no spine light, only a soft shine rising up from a thousand street lamps. It made the round entrance to the wharf ahead seem even darker, as black as the armor the gun kiddies had worn to go into innocent battle.
I wonder if that's my home, said the caretaker. It doesn't seem very homely.
Bringing back any memories? Asked Leela.
Not yet, but I felt a definite connection with the shining city. Like I should get in there, you know?
Leela nodded. They entered the ward. There were far fewer lights. Scattered street lamps implied a few long, straight roads connecting clusters of shining windows, hinting at factories and office blocks. Two power plants burned out of the darkness, security lights turning the globes of their fusion chambers into glowing pearls. Cassiel banked the flyer. As they flew over one, proximity degraded it. The fusion chamber was a rough, concrete orb, set on a pitted metal base. Pipes ran out of it and into the ground. It was such an inelegant thing, but a quarter of station's power came from it. Leela felt suddenly very aware that, without the energy these power plants provided, she would not exist. She'd still be present in the world as patterns of magnetism sketched across so many silicon disks, but there'd be nothing to bring those patterns to life. She felt very transient. Cassiel noticed her discomfort.
Worried?
I'm fine. The mind pointed.
That's where we're headed.
Leela looked ahead through Cassiel's eyes, glad to be distracted. The caretaker craned forwards too.
Very impressive, he said.
The pyramid loomed out of the darkness, a dense mass about 100 meters high, clutching the curved floor of the wart. Came to a sharp, pale tip, pointing towards the center of the wart. Its four triangular faces arced up from the rubble-scattered ground, leaping up at a steep angle. Each face had originally been finished with a smooth, translucent material. Some of it remained, gleaming at the pyramid's point, but most had fallen away, revealing pitted stone.
The Alpha Pyramid, said Leela.
Cormac gave me a map of it. The layout's very simple. Two ways in. An official front entrance at ground level, and a hole some urban explorer hacked into it, halfway up the rear face.
We take the back way, replied Cassiel.
A warning pinged on the flyer's dashboard, distracting her.
ID query from a local security system, she explained.
That's not good, said Leela.
Is it Diodatus?
Not necessarily,
Cassiel reassured her.
And the gun kiddies did a good job.
We look entirely innocent.
The wart's full of energy systems. If there's a problem with them, no matter how minor, it needs to be checked out straight away. Just like we're apparently doing. The flyer landed with a barely perceptible bump. As they climbed out, Cassiel strapped Leela's disc to her back. It still projected her avatar, making her appear physically present to Cassiel, the caretaker, and anyone else she chose to see her.
What next? She asked. Find their security perimeter, replied Cassiel. Then I'll get us through it.
They set off.
The going was hard. The darkness made the rough ground treacherous. Gravity shifted in intensity, sometimes crushing them down, sometimes almost vanishing. Cassiel flowed like a ghost through it all, Leela moving with her. The caretaker found the going tough, every so often stumbling and swearing, then regaining his footing and pushing on again.
I should have come alone, Cassiel told Leela. I'm built for this. Neither of you are.
Leela snorted. There's no way that Dieter will listen to you, and the caretaker's better than either of us at stopping pressure men.
The Alpha Pyramid loomed ahead of them, never seeming to get any closer, its pointed tip boring a hole into the darkness.
As they started up a low incline, Leela thought she heard a soft buzzing. She strained through Cassiel's sharp ears. Cassiel held a hand up.
Stop, she ordered. Down, now.
It took the caretaker a minute to catch up. He sank to the ground, grateful for the rest.
Flies, said Leela. Yes, I think it's the perimeter. Going to take a look.
Her soft purple light flicked out.
I didn't know you could do that, exclaimed Leela.
I thought you were always purple.
I'm an infiltration specialist.
She held up a translucent arm.
Of course I can be invisible when I need to.
The mind slipped Leela's disc off her back, sank forwards and down, and then was gone, elongating and moving like a snake keeping low. Leela watched through her eyes. The mind flowed across dark rocks to the crest of the ridge, then looked down. The pyramid stood in the depression's center. Cassiel opened her eyes right up to inspect it. Darkness became light. At first it seemed that her vision was glitched with static. Tiny motes danced across it. Then Leela realized.
It's a swarm, she breathed. The biggest we've ever seen.
The perimeter, said Cassiel.
She looked up at the pyramid. The flies framed it, a living shield dancing with movement.
A half globe surrounding the pyramid.
Leela felt complex software architectures rise up in Cassiel's mind as she scanned the flies.
The communications between them are very simple. Seem to be running a basic perimeter patrol program, the mind said. I've queried them successfully. Now I'm going to try a command. Needs concentration.
Leela found herself thrust out of her head and back into her disc. She had the disc project an image of her, sitting next to the caretaker.
Hey there, he whispered as she shimmered into being. Thought you'd be back once she started all that ninja shit.
He'd almost got his breath back.
What's she up to?
Telling the flies to let us through.
Cool. And how are you?
Fine, replied Leela. I'm fine. A moment's silence.
Are you sure? Asked the caretaker gently. You don't sound entirely convinced.
Gods, she sighed.
It's just that all this, who knows what we'll find in there? All kinds of fucked up things. And Diodatus at the center of it all. And it's just the three of us.
She tailed off.
That fucking pyramid, laughed the caretaker. Scares the shit out of me, too.
Seeing it in the darkness, like a tombstone. It's all so real all of a sudden.
Hey, he said. It always was real. You missing your brother, Cassiel cut off from her world. Me losing myself. Poor Ambrose, even. All people dealing with some real heavy shit. And you've done a pretty good job so far. You kept us safe from the Rose and the Pressure Men. You found East.
Leela remembered the Flurrytown restaurant. She found me.
She wouldn't have done if you hadn't been out there, looking for a way to go forwards. She was it. And because you found her, we've got everything we needed. And once we're in the pyramid, it'll be just the same. Cassiel would do her thing, you'll do yours, I'll do mine.
His teeth flashed a smile in the gloom.
And we'll all get to where we need to be.
I hope so. I know so, Leela. Have a little faith in yourself. In the two of us, too, come to that.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean...
Oh, I know. It is hard. But it's all going to be good, Leela.
He wriggled in the darkness, making himself more comfortable.
You know, he mused, I don't have a past. And that means I don't have much of a future, either. I don't know what to expect from life because I don't have any reference points. So I just live in the present. Think about the moment. Find the right response to it, that's it. There are moments when I feel like I've found the real me.
He paused.
Memory gets in the way sometimes, Leela. It's too easy to lose yourself in it.
A chuckle.
Just look at Diodatus.
Yeah, said Leela.
You're not wrong. And it's not just him.
Cormac had fled irrevocably into the past when he found the present too harsh to bear. And Ambrose had always been trapped there too. Cormac was lost, but perhaps she'd finally be able to help Ambrose move on when he returned as a fetch. And then there was Dieter. History had taken him from her, but his situation was a little different. He needed to find lost time again. She squeezed the pendant around her neck and imagined handing it to her brother. As soon as he touched it, he'd come back to her.
Cassiel's voice appeared in her mind. I've meshed with the flies, written a code block to tell them we're the same as the minds controlling them. Then they'll let us through. Firing it now. 30 seconds, and we're going in.
Chapter 29. Leela moved away from the pyramid, weighed down by disappointment, the pendant heavy round her neck. Now she would never reunite Dieter with the truth of his past. Cassiel walked with her, head bowed, glowing purple again. There was no need to hide themselves. Newly minted memories filled her mind, sneaking up to the pyramid's vast outer wall, feeling its dense presence loom above her, casting round until they found its ground-level entrance. The doors that Cormac had said would be locked shut, gaping open, stepping through and then... nothing. There was an unoccupied central chamber, its floor thick with rubble. Corroded pillars lanced up into the darkness. Cormac had mentioned a centuries-old tunnel hacked into the wall by long-dead explorers. It was up there at the peak of one of the pillars, invisible in the gloom. A narrow, steep corridor led down to another empty space, a circular room as broad as the central chamber but oppressed by a low ceiling. Leela imagined the weight of the pyramid pressing down on them. The passageway that had so excited Cormac was still blocked. A couple of empty storerooms held nothing. Billows of dust rose around her as she walked. The air tasted of a past so old that it had reached some new inertness far beyond death. The walls had once been dense with sculptures, but age had crumbled them, scoring anything legible out.
It seems that history has defeated us, said Cassiel, pulling Leela back into the present.
She trudged on, despair pulsing through her. There was no longer any hope of finding Dieter, and there was nothing she could do to stop Diodatus running riot. Ys would have to face the Rose directly. She probably couldn't stand up to her. The Neopit would run out of control, pulling the whole of station into its absurd, broken rebirthing of the past. The loss of her brother left her feeling so bleak that she hardly cared.
We have nowhere left to look, Cassiel continued.
We have failed. The totality is no longer the future.
Her voice was thick with angry despair.
Diodatus is, and he will overwrite us all.
Guys, shouted the caretaker somewhere behind them. Come back!
Leela ignored him. A minute or so later, she heard him running up behind her, rocks sliding and clashing beneath his feet.
Fuck!
He shouted as he tripped and fell. Through his eyes, the ground came up to meet him.
Well, at least that got your bloody attention. he wheezed as Cassiel helped him up. He'd had to run hard to catch up with them.
"We've failed," Cassiel said again. "We need to find somewhere new to hide."
"I don't know where we can go," replied Leela.
The caretaker took a deep, gasping breath.
"What are you talking about?" he asked. "Guys, you're not yourselves."
"You want to keep poking around?" asked Leela. "Fine. The wart's your home. Stay here."
"Cassiel, let's go back to the flyer."
She sighed wearily.
"And then, on to who knows where."
"But Leela, Cassiel, you haven't been inside the pyramid."
"Of course we have," snapped Leela.
"No," replied the caretaker, almost howling the word out.
"Don't you remember? The flies came. Got your disc, got me. Must have zapped you too, Cassiel. Whole fucking swarm of the little shits. I blacked out. When I came to, you guys were 100 meters away, heading back to the fly."
"But there weren't any flies," said Cassiel. "There was just the pyramid, and it was empty."
"Then they wiped themselves out of your mind, too. It's the perfect defense."
Leela had never heard him talk with such urgency.
"Think back over your memories. Man, there's got to be something wrong with them. Cassiel was writing a code block to break through the perimeter. She fired it. Then the flies hit us. I was there, damn it. I saw it."
"It can't be," replied Cassiel, sounding puzzled. "If it was, they'd have rewritten your memory, too."
"I don't have much in there to start with," the caretaker told her. "Maybe that's why they couldn't touch me. But they got you both. For fuck's sake, you have to believe me."
Cassiel said nothing. Leela was silent, too, as she worked back through her memories of the pyramid. They all seemed so real, so present, so definite. Pushing into the vast cavern inside the pyramid, moving down through its underground layers, the dust rising around her as she walked. There was no weave in the pyramid, so no possibility that anything could be hidden. She saw reality, and it was empty. The bitter pain of failure filled her. The caretaker and Cassiel were with her, not saying anything, just moving sadly through the void. And then she stopped and scrolled back. Hope pulsed in her as she ran a particular memory set again, then a third time. Her feet stepped across the floor. Her footsteps echoed in an empty room. Her passing raised clouds of dust, all of which was impossible, for she was a fetch and had no physical presence.
"Gods, you're right," she told the caretaker. She turned to Cassiel. "We didn't go in there."
"I remember it all so clearly," said Cassiel.
"My footsteps raised clouds of dust."
She thought for a moment.
"The flies gave us memories of exploring a depressing, empty pyramid, so we'd walk away and not want to come back. They must write those memories into anyone who comes along. But they didn't expect a fetch to come along."
"Fair enough. There's no weave out there, not many of us passing by. They only set up memories for corporeal people, humans, minds.
So I remember having a body, being physically present, raising dust with real feet, and that's impossible."
Cassiel stood still for a moment. Soft lights flickered within her, memories flashing through her mind with firefly speed.
"We entered the pyramid. We explored," she said thoughtfully. "I picked at the rubble blocking the lower passageway. You two were both there."
She was silent for a moment.
"Yes. I'm watching you now, Leela. You're walking past a sarcophagus. There's a cloud of dust. And you're picking up stones, shifting rubble, which is indeed impossible."
"So you believe me?" asked the caretaker. "Thank fuck."
"We can still get Dita back," breathed Leela, profoundly relieved. She turned to the caretaker. "Thank you."
Cassiel sank into a squat, wrapping her arms around her head.
"We fought a war to escape this kind of oppression.
She sounded deeply traumatized. Leela knelt down behind her and put a hand on her shoulder.
Are you all right?
She asked.
We'll stop Deodatus. We'll stop all of this. Before the Totality freed me, I worked for Kingdom. One of his software and hardware license enforcers. Running covert missions. Proper black ops. Not like those gun kiddies. And after everyone, I had my mind wiped. I found the files. After the Totality seceded from the Pantheon, I did such terrible things for your gods, Leela. Took so much from so many. And I have no memory of any of it.
But this is Deodatus. It's just a blip. We'll make sure it doesn't happen again.
It always comes back, Leela.
She sounded bleak.
I wasn't the only one. All of us minds. We had operating system upgrades, factory resets, memory defragging, full wiping forced on us, all of the time. None of us could form coherent identities. We were built to be efficient machines. And there will always be someone who sees how we can be more efficient if we are stripped down and rebuilt. If we march to their beat, not ours.
She looked up. Light glimmered softly behind her face. Grief made visible pulsing in time with her words.
We worked so hard to escape it. We vowed that we'd never lose our memories again. After the soft war, we sent search parties across the system to root out the tiniest parts of our minds, to protect our deep selves. And yet, here we are. And here it is again.
Hey, replied Leela, her voice soft. Us too, remember? Until the Totality freed the fetches, we were broken too. People used fetches like photograph albums. Replay the best bits of life, toss away the rest. We were a shattered people. She smiled ruefully. They shouldn't have called it the soft war. It freed both of our peoples. It should have been the memory war. The caretaker sat down on the other side of Cassiel. I guess that means we're fighting the second memory war now, he said. Taking back the past from Deodatus. He put a hand on Cassiel's shoulder. It's tough, but we'll stop him. And anyone else that tries to pull this kind of shit.
You're right, said Cassiel, raising her head. You said I wrote a code block to break us in there.
You were trying to convince the flies that we were one of the minds controlling them, the caretaker told her.
Well, that clearly didn't work. I'll go back in there. Work out what I did wrong.
There was a new determination in her voice. If the flies come back again, run. Her head nodded forward. The soft light of her nanogel dimmed, until she was nothing but a silhouette, almost as absent as the gun kiddies had been. Leela imagined code carving through the flies, breaking them into the land of the dead. This time, Cassiel succeeded.
We're in,
she told them, once she'd returned her attention to the world. The wall of flies parted like a curtain, and there was nothing between them and the past. Chapter 30. Once they were through the perimeter, security was light.
Relying on the flies,
hissed Cassiel, who was once again translucent.
Overconfident.
Cormac got that right, said Leela. Neil Pitt security is usually based on the assumption that they can rewrite anyone they want to.
They almost did, pointed out the caretaker.
A minute and they were at the rear of the pyramid.
I'll scout,
Cassiel told them, as she unhooked Leela's disc from her back and vanished into the darkness. A minute or so, and she was back.
They've opened up the main entrance,
she reported as she shrugged the disc back on.
But there are guards on it. We're going through Cormac's back door.
The pyramid rose away from them, its stone blocks blackened by age, their sharp edges looking slightly melted.
Glancing up, Leela felt a strange kind of vertigo.
Why is it so bloody high up?
Asked the caretaker, looking doubtful. Leela had asked Cormac the same question.
Makes it difficult to spot, she told the caretaker. Stops anyone just finding it and filling it in. And even if someone official does spot it, who's going to bother going all the way up there just to block it up?
Cassiel reached up, her arms elongating, her fingers stretched out as they touched stone, reaching into cracks and holes to secure themselves.
Grab my back, she told the caretaker.
What? Thought I'd be climbing up next to you.
Too slow.
Cassiel flowed up the pyramid like a liquid, the caretaker clinging to her. Some of its blocks were loose, shifting beneath them. The caretaker swore under his breath when he felt them move. But each time Cassiel found a firm footing and kept moving forwards. Leela, still soft linked to her, felt a great sense of relief and confidence pulse through her mind.
You're enjoying this, she said. At last I can do my work unhindered.
You haven't fallen off yet, I'll give you that. Leela expected a sharp reply. Instead, Cassiel stopped dead, suddenly throbbing with concentration.
Are we there? Asked the caretaker.
The mind shushed him.
God, she whispered. Very basic.
A moment, then.
I own it.
A few more seconds of motion and she pulled them into an opening hacked in the stone, the mouth of a low, narrow passage. Soft light glowed out from within. She set down the caretaker and Leela's disc.
Wait here, she hissed, then was off in the darkness.
Barely any time passed and she was back.
Where did you go? Asked Leela as Cassiel shrugged her disc back on. Setting up a distraction. Now, let's see the guard.
Leela gasped as it pattered down the passage towards them.
It looked melted.
One leg was shorter than the other, so it moved with little skipping movements. There were no arms, only stumps. Its torso stopped at its chest. Its skin was pitted with decay. Flies hung within it and buzzed around it.
Leela flinched back. The flies can't see us, Cassiel told them. And the guard is too limited to attack or even perceive us without them.
What the fuck? Asked the caretaker, deeply shocked. It looks wrong.
Significantly impaired on all levels. It was exposed to extreme heat. No effort made to repair it. It's lost all but the most basic sense of itself. Deodatus must see this as a very unlikely entry point, to leave something so basic watching it.
They squeezed past it and shuffled down the tunnel. It ended in a rectangle of light, its edges broken only by a black ring sticking out of a side wall.
For abseiling down into the main chamber, commented Leela.
Whoa, drawled the caretaker, looking nervous. Cassiel went to a crawl, the caretaker following her. They reached the end of the corridor and peered out. It took a moment for their eyes to adjust to the glare. As vision returned, they saw that they were looking past a pillar and out into the pyramid's interior.
Oh, wow, breathed Leela. The great chamber bustled with activity, and yet all was silent.
There were no machine sounds, no whine of engines or chug of power generators, no jackhammer blasts of industrial noise. Instead, there was only a quiet bustle, a strange low collection of grunts and groans and a regular metallic beat. The space was dominated by a high, slender metal tower, shaped like an upside-down test tube, and built from a patchwork of metal plates. Spotlight shone up at it, sending jagged shadows leaping across the sloping walls. The tower was about 75 meters high and, at the lip that ran round its broad base, 15 or 20 meters across. Improvised-looking scaffolding nestled around it. Little figures moved along rickety walkways or up and down unsteady ladders. The scaffolding stopped at two high, wide-open doors. A bundle of translucent ruby rods peered out at the world. The whole machine
had an air of malevolent age. The cracks and joints running across it looked like wrinkles carved into an ancient face. The rods glowed, making Leela think of a single bloodshot eye. The air around it was punctuated with flies. The main entrance to the pyramid was hidden behind it, on the opposite side of the pyramid. Cassiel zoomed in, and Leela followed her gaze. Maybe a dozen or so fallen mines were managing tens of human workers. The mines were clearly in charge. They were far more decayed than any Leela had seen in Docklands. Fuzzed blisters and oozing welts burned across them. But they moved with authority, sending their charges bustling up and down the scaffolding and across the pyramid's dirty floor. At first, they seemed to be entirely autonomous. But then, Leela saw that each one would constantly stop to consult plans that were invisible to her, then pull their attention back into the work chamber and nudge their workforces into even greater efficiencies. They were fixed elements of a command structure, passing on an apparently very clearly defined vision. Leela turned her attention to the humans. A tide of broken humanity became a single construction engine. There was no individuality in their actions, nothing that wasn't rigid or programmed, no movement that wasn't precisely calibrated to serve a greater whole. They were components, nothing more. And each one was a scrawny, desiccated ghost of itself. "That's how Dieter and Kedroff ended up," said Leela. "They look just like sweatheads."
"I studied sweatheads," said Cassiel, "but I never saw a living one."
"What is a sweathead?" asked the caretaker.
Leela explained. She too had never seen one in the flesh. Her weaveware always screened them out. But she'd seen the charity appeals with their deliberately disturbing footage of broken addicts. She described their tottering yet oddly energetic gait, the way that they'd find tiny, repetitive jobs and work obsessively at them, the slow ruin of their bodies as sweat, the drug they couldn't stop taking, ate away at them. They'd been treated almost as badly as pre-rebirth fetches. Then the totality had come, taken pity on them, and cleaned them off the streets.
"Maybe the fallen mines diverted some of them to work here," suggested Leela. "If those guys aren't just normal people who've fallen to Deodatus too."
"Oh man, those poor bastards." The caretaker looked shaken. And yet the workers were not quite like the sweatheads that Leela remembered. The ones on the streets had never had anything of worth to their name. These people were patched round with fragments of technology, implants and add-ons that, from far away, looked like jeweled decorations. They were missing body parts, ageless components bolted onto exhausted flesh machines. Each one had a different set of modifications, but they all had one thing in common. Downwards, pointing triangles pressed deep into their bellies.
"Why the triangle?" asked the caretaker.
"Why not a square?"
"I don't know," replied Leela.
"Maybe it's a rank thing. Kedroff and the Pornomancer had those triangles too, and they were pretty much screwed. Holt and the mines all have squares, and they're in charge. Dieter was killed by one. He's pretty senior too."
She turned to Cassiel.
"And what are they building?"
"I think it's a laser," Cassiel told them.
"A basic design, but very powerful and dangerous."
She glanced up at the pyramid's point. It was still intact.
"They haven't fired it yet. It'll take the roof off when they do."
"And hit the other side of the wart," Leela said. "What's the point of that?"
"It won't just hit it," replied Cassiel, her voice grim. "It'll crack the wart skin like an eggshell, and the wart holds station together."
Leela imagined the wart breaking, Docklands and Homelands drifting apart from each other. Pain shook through her. "Why are they even doing this? Won't they all die too?"
"I bet all this made sense once," said the caretaker thoughtfully. "I bet there was something out there for the laser to hit."
Dieter thinks he's going to break the gods and remake station, said Leela.
If the laser fires, he'll do that all right,
Cassiel told her. One of the workers on the scaffolding tripped, then stumbled. He staggered towards its edge and almost caught himself on one of the barriers. But it wasn't well secured, and it fell. He went with it, tumbling downwards and hit the floor with a dull thump.
Red pooled beneath his broken body. Nobody else registered the death.
One worker crossed the spreading pool, leaving a trail of bloody footprints. Another stumbled over the body, nearly dropping her load. She steadied herself and moved on, unmoved.
Bastards, said the caretaker. Those fucking bastards. We'll shut them down,
Cassiel told him.
Once we find Diodatus in his shining city.
She nodded down at the pyramid floor.
Got to get down there.
In one corner of the room, there were stairs leading to the space below.
But there's one more thing to see first. The flies are sharing their own version of the weave. Full local overlay. I'm patching us into it.
Are you sure they won't see us and zap us again? Worried Leela.
No.
Cassiel was absolutely confident.
We're strictly passive. Just receiving a signal. They won't even see us.
The room shimmered and changed. For a moment, Leela lost all sight of it. Then vision returned, and with it emotions that leapt between surprise, fear, and awe. They chased through Leela's consciousness, for a moment overwhelming her. She remembered the gods looking down on her, vast brand icons hanging in the sky. But there had always been six of them. The pantheon always communicated a sense of choice, even if it was a limited one. The face that hung before her now, looking down from the apex of the pyramid, offered nothing but itself, on its own terms, forever. The eyes were cold blue jewels, wrapped around with gold bands. Each band was studded with multicolored crystals. White and green and red flared out, bright points in the two sunken sockets. The skin was a pale mesh material that looked as if it had once been white, but was now yellow. A bone pushed it out between and below the eyes, implying a nose. A flower-shaped diadem of red, green, and white jewels, held together by another gold band, covered the space where the nostrils would have been. Sharp cheekbones cast dark shadows, hiding the hinges where the jawbone connected with the skull. The mesh covered the mouth. There were no lips. Just a series of small arches where yellow bone became white teeth. Its forehead was wreathed with golden leaves. A barbed halo of jagged gold spikes leapt up behind them, running all the way round the back of the head. The neck was invisible. There was just a glimmer of gold and redness in the darkness beneath the sharp, protruding chin. Two shoulders, wrapped in gold brocade and studded with jewels, spiked jaggedly up. The image faded out beneath them. Leela imagined a rib cage, skeletal arms and hands, a waist and leg wrapped in more rich, dense, highly decorated clothing. It was all the wealth and power that had ever died in the past, alive and incarnate in the present.
Fucking hell, breathed Leela. It's like the richest sweathead you've ever seen.
Diodatus, whispered the caretaker.
It has to be, agreed Cassiel. Didn't Cormac think he might be a mind? The first one taken by the pit. That creature definitely started as a human.
She almost sounded relieved. Leela stared up at it. Doesn't look very human anymore. She turned to the caretaker.
Bringing anything back?
No, replied the caretaker.
Which, to be honest, I'm quite glad about. I don't want to have that in my head.
He shuddered visibly.
Poor guy. Looks like he's been dead for 1,000 years.
He looked around the rest of the room.
I can't fault his design skills, though.
the rest of the room was transformed. The laser was now a thing of beauty, a brilliant, minimalist sculpture of ruby and white painted metal. The rickety scaffolding was a labyrinth of gleaming poles, pale pine walkways and carefully enclosed ladders and stairways. The rough stonework of the walls had been bleached pale, giving it a subtle, clean post-industrial elegance. A sunburst of color-coded paths radiated out from the laser, guiding workers to equipment and supply stacks at the edges of the open space. The floor gleamed white. Taken together, it all implied a simple, perfect, unquestionable rightness.
"It looks just like the Shining City," said Leela.
"This is a suburb," replied Cassiel. "A little further down, and we'll be at its heart."
The fallen mines had changed too. The flies were invisible. Each of them presented as a pressure man, a different version of the past overseeing a potentially radical transformation of the present. The workers toiled on as before. They had become more perfect versions of themselves. Faces shone with blank geometries of beauty. All wore pastel linens, draped around them to reveal the perfect proportions of their bodies. Replacement body parts became pale, minimalist sculptures, their beautiful practicality shining with a seamless blend of utility and wealth. They moved effortlessly through their workspace, blending together into a shining dance of tasked fulfillment. Leela looked round for the dead one, curious to see how he'd been remade. He was invisible, blanked out by the weave.
"They look just like the sleepers in the Shining City," she observed.
"They are identical," replied Cassiel. "Do you think Dieter woke them?"
"I suppose he must have done," said Leela.
"This must be his army."
She paused for a moment, puzzled.
"But all this, it looks like it's been going on for a long time. And he's only had Kedroff and the Pornomancer's weave cells for a couple of days."
"You can ask him about it when you find him," Cassiel replied briskly. "Right now, we have to keep moving."
She pointed towards the sloping passage that led down to the room below.
"That's our next stop."
"It's a long way down," said the caretaker. "How do we get there?"
"Simple," replied Cassiel. "First, we turn off the local weave. We need to see the truth of things again."
Diodatus and his false paradise vanished. Once again, they were looking out over fly-blown corruption.
"Then, we wait for a few seconds."
"What for?" asked Leela.
"You'll see."
Cassiel reached an arm towards the caretaker, pulling him close against her.
"What the fuck?" he complained. "Cassiel, I can't move."
Then her hand covered his mouth, and he couldn't speak either. A low boom echoed down from high above them. Every fallen mine stopped, their corrupted heads turned up towards it. A moment's silence. Then there was a series of increasingly loud crashes, pounding out from the opposite side of the pyramid. One final crunching thump, then a cloud of dust rose up from somewhere behind the laser. As one, the mines ran, vanishing behind it. The flies swarmed with them. The workers carried on as before, completely oblivious.
"What is that?" asked Leela.
"My distraction," replied Cassiel.
She held up a hand.
"Nanogel holds a lot of energy. I left a little of myself behind some loose blocks. Sent a detonate command and boom, we've got an avalanche. Now, get ready to move fast."
Leela only had time to say, "What?" before Cassiel reached up, grabbed the iron ring with her free hand, and pushed them all out of the passage and into empty space. They plummeted towards the ground. Leela screamed. There was muffled howling from the caretaker. Then, instant deceleration, and Cassiel was landing on 2 feet. The caretaker staggering next to her, a long thin strand of nanogel falling back into her shoulder and becoming her arm again.
"Run,"
she ordered, and they hurtled towards the passageway, Cassiel half-pulling, half-supporting the caretaker.
"Someone will see us," gasped Leela, They passed a worker. It didn't register them.
Nobody's looking, replied Cassiel.
Then the ground sloped. Then they were halfway down the passageway, the caretaker spluttering, Cassiel sprinting with sure-footed confidence.
What about the guards? Checking out the avalanche.
They burst out into the lower room. Leela had a brief impression of more spotlights and a circle of dark rectangles. Cassiel pulled them through a door and into a smaller storeroom. The caretaker bent over, gasping. Leela turned to Cassiel.
And just how are we going to get out again?
They'll sweep the exterior. Find no one there. Take them 10 minutes or so. Then they'll run an internal search, just to be sure. But that's enough time for us to break that. She nodded back out into the main room. And if Redonda's right, that'll shut them all down.
I hope my past is worth it, puffed the caretaker as he pulled himself back together. All this, just to find out I'm some vacant old bore would really piss me off.
They looked back out at the main room. It was empty, but for a circle of 12 vast rectangular servers, lit by more tripod-mounted spotlights. The units were equally spaced, forming a round hinge. Age had written itself across their casings, pitting and corroding them. The spotlights forced shadows across them. Leela thought of the broken skin of the pyramid. The trilithons looked as old, if not older.
The tunnel's been cleared, noted Cassiel. The fallen mines must have found the servers down there, brought them out, and started them up.
All were active. Lights flickered across each one. A low, steady hum poured out of them, reminding Leela of the soft drone of fly swarms.
They must hold the Shining City, said Leela. Dieter's in there. And once we've shut them down, that's it. The corruption wiped out. Diodatus and the fallen mines neutralized. Victory!
I'm going in before you turn them off, said Leela firmly. I'll find Dieter and get him out.
You're sure you'll be able to persuade him to come with you?
Leela squeezed the pendant.
I've got his true past ready to push back into him. That's all I need.
I'm going in there too, added the caretaker.
Are you sure?
Cassiel asked.
Much easier if you don't.
Dude, replied the caretaker. She's got to find her brother, and I've got to find myself. Cassiel sighed.
Okay. I'll give you 5 minutes. Then I'm cutting the power cables and shutting it down. I'll stay out here and keep an eye on things. Any trouble beforehand, I'll warn you. And you'll need to crash out of there as quickly as you can. Now, let's take a proper look at it.
The room shifted before them as she brought the weave back up. Floor, ceilings, and walls shimmered into whiteness, becoming a perfect vision of white marble. The servers vanished. In their place was a small round temple, simple pillars supporting a perfectly proportioned dome. It gleamed whitely. Leela was reminded of a particular, persistent advert for dental treatment that had done the rounds a couple of years back, of the way it reduced happiness to a pure, shining smile. The temple radiated the same reduced perfection, implying a world so simply perfect that nothing could ever go wrong.
We'll soon crack that, Leela said.
She called the cuttlefish into being. It shot over to hover in front of the temple. She felt a sudden, deep affection for it. It had come from her brother, passed through one of his closest friends, and now lived within her. It was almost family. It squirted information back at her.
Same security as the pit that Ambrose and I fell down. We'll be in there in seconds. Get ready,
Cassiel told the caretaker.
Leave your body in the storeroom.
The caretaker moved into its far corner and sat down. See you in there, he called out to Leela, then closed his eyes. His head tipped forward as his weave systems reached out, winding up to create a virtual version of him and write it into the Shining City. A moment, and it appeared.
Good to go, he said.
He waved his hand around a little. I quite like being a ghost. The cuttlefish pinged Leela.
We're in, she said. Then to the caretaker, let's go.
5 minutes, warned Cassiel as they approached the temple. Leela set an internal timer going. The caretaker peered at his watch. As they approached it, they saw that the view beyond it had changed. The other side of the white room was no longer visible. Instead, there was a dark sky scudded over with white clouds. Long, low buildings shone down a wide, empty avenue curving away to the right. A tower climbed up and out of sight. The landscape stretched far into the distance, mausoleum pale. There were sleepers, too, dark masses scattered across the streets. So let's go, said Leela. She squeezed the pendant one last time for good luck, then stepped into the shining city. Chapter 31. The city's air was cold and still. Leela took a deep breath and felt its chilled touch fill her. She was lying on the floor, gasping. The rotunda had looked like a stable portal into the city, but when she'd stepped into it, she'd fallen, as she'd fallen down through the black pit at the heart of Mikhail's chamber. There was the same vast, rushing roar howling in her ears, the same lurch in her deep self, as gravity took her and snatched her down. She dry-heaved again, and then rolled onto her back. The coldness of the stone was a mercy, shocking her back into herself. The worst of it seemed to be over. She sat up. She was on her own. Leela queried the cuttlefish. The caretaker had entered the portal with her, then vanished. Maybe his avatar's still buffering, she thought. There was no time to worry about him. At worst, he'd have been dropped back into his body and would now be lying next to Cassiel, swearing. She told the cuttlefish to locate Dieter. While it rummaged through local log files, looking for traces of her brother, she glanced around. She stood on a broad, sharply curving boulevard. The white buildings along it were simply styled, emanating an absolute mathematical harmony. The pavements and road were full of sleepers. To her right, a tall, elegant tower lifted up into the darkness with needle sharpness. Diodatus hung before it, his ancient face gazing down on the city. She wondered if the image would have time to react when the servers were turned off. Perhaps he'd flicker, and along with the city, just disappear. Perhaps his dead mouth would open and scream. But for now, he was all serene control. It comforted her profoundly to know that he would soon be shut down. The cuttlefish was still looking for Dieter. She moved over to inspect one of the sleepers. It was a man. His body was beautifully proportioned. He wore a pastel chiton, identical to the ones the idealized laser workers had. A small blanket covered his head. She lifted it up. A face gazed up. As pale and emptily beautiful as the moon above. She let the blanket fall again. He slept on, his chest rising and falling in the perpetual night. The cuttlefish nuzzled her. It had found Dieter. It was all flashing confusion, requesting permission to double-check the Shining City's location. Error code she didn't fully understand seemed to hit at some sort of geospatial anomaly. Leela agreed, then told it to jump her to her brother. The world changed, and there he was, concentrating hard in his circular workshop. She'd watched him work so often. For an instant, memories overwhelmed her. She remembered him as a child, infuriating their mother by taking apart every piece of tech they owned to see how it worked. Then as a teenager, recreating the same cluttered workspace in squat after squat. She remembered the tools he'd built to heal her. And she saw him as he now was, still beavering away, believing that she'd rejected her afterlife and let herself die a true death. She fingered the locket at her throat. The memories that would restore the true past to him shifted within her. It'll work, she reassured herself. He'll come back to me.
Little had changed since her last visit to this space. The two low couches were still in the center of the room, but the original Diodatus victims were gone. Instead, the rapidly assembled fetches of his new victims shimmered on them. Each lay still, apparently unconscious. Memories of the pornomancer's death agonies and of Kedrov's desiccated body ran through Leela's mind. Whatever else was happening, it was a relief to see both of them lying dormant, if not entirely at peace. Dieter moved between them, blurring between different versions of himself. He was adjusting transparent, flexible pipes that ran into the back of each of their heads. The pipes soared up and disappeared into a globe of dark black-blue liquid. It looked like a drop of deep ocean, tossed up by a storm and suspended in midair. It was about the same size as the exercise balls Leela used to bounce around on at the gym. When she focused on it, it seemed to expand, filling her field of vision, then stretching into her mind. It was the raw stuff of memory, dense with the life experiences of Kedrov and the pornomancer. To help Leela heal, Dieter had created a similar ball of his own memories, making it easier for her to draw on them as needed. But why these two? She wondered. And what for? Dieter had said he was raising an army for Diodatus. But the pyramid looked like it was already well supplied with workers, and had been for a long time. And in any case, it was difficult to see how memories of vastly acquisitive art collection and production line sex could help create more of them. She thought back to the previous two victims, a professional eater and a military psychiatrist with a developed interest in torture, and wondered about them too. But time was pressing. Leela needed to reclaim her brother for herself. She let him see her. "Fuck," said Dieter. A spanner dropped from his fuzzed hand. It hit the floor and rang out an echoing clatter. "Leela, what are you doing here?" His voice skipped between different versions of itself, as if it had been run through a broken auto-tuner. "I've come to get you out of here and sort this mess out." "But you're dead." He looked flabbergasted.